This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We'll also see some power shifting within the national security team that is at the White House. Steve Bannon, we are hearing right now, has been removed from that position. It is not necessarily what it appears. Blake Berman on the phone to tell us what's going on here. Blake.
Hi there, Neil, and I'm on the phone because you were just watching that live shot of the King's arrival, and they wouldn't let us cross to our camera position as there's a bunch of highly important people here now at the White House. What the Secret Service says, we do and we follow. So hello from the phone here, probably about 100 feet away from the video you were just watching. As it relates to Steve Bannon, yes, he has been taken off as a permanent fixture, and that's the key part of the National Security Council's principal committee. Let me kind of wind you back from the beginning here. Steve Bannon is the chief strategist here at the White House, essentially one of the top advisors to the president. When the president came in, there was a reorganization of this principal committee, basically standing members, folks who are invited into NSC meetings every single time, and Steve Bannon was put on that select group. In past administrations, a person of Steve Bannon's caliber within an administration was not automatically put on, but he was in this case. Now, today, it is yet another reorganization. Steve Bannon, not an automatic member now as it relates to these NSC principal committee meetings, but he will be able to attend. A senior administration official basically breaks this down with the following, Neil, saying that he was put on that committee as a check, essentially, on Michael Flynn, the former NSA advisor who was trying to depoliticize the NSC. Now that, as we know, Flynn is no longer here, there is essentially that check on Flynn and what he was trying to do not needed. So thus Bannon taken off the NSC Principals Committee. There was a lot of angst among some as to why the chief strategist would be put on this committee in the first place. Now he is off, but I'm still invited to attend events. Neil?
So I assume that they didn't need the same check on H.R. McMaster, who took Flynn's place.
Right. There was, and what they're saying, according to this official, is the check was the whole trying to depoliticize it. Now they've got a new guy in there in McMaster, and thus the president doesn't feel that Bannon's needed at this point in that role.
Thank you, buddy, very, very much. We appreciate that.
Of course, this makes for good political theater coming out of the Beltway. You got to imagine those on the left looking at what's happening with Steve Bannon and thinking that, well, he's out, and maybe there's a power shift that is going on, especially with Ivanka coming in, the president's son-in-law in more profile positions and being talked about more often. Rather interesting to see how this plays out. And maybe it might be a positive, perceived positive move in terms of, Bannon, just kind of moving back a little bit to the next layer, even though supposedly he had threatened to quit. He may end up quitting anyway. Maybe there is some true conflict that is going on, ideologically within the Trump administration as the president is figuring out, okay, how is he going to govern, maybe what Bannon might have been insisting on was a little bit too rough for the president to deal with. Maybe he wants to be able to administrate and, lead from a more moderate position, and maybe he didn't feel like he had to. I don't know. All this is all conjecture at this point, so your guess is as good as mine. But we do know that Mr. Bannon, according to reports, resisted the move, as I said, threatening at one point to quit if it went forward, according to a White House official. So, again, this will all play out. And, of course, we'll have more information on Devin Nunes, being reviewed by the Ethics Committee. The left has made some claims. I think they're a bit outlandish, and they'll prove to be about as valuable and as worthy as they need to be. But Nunes, I'm disappointed that he stepped down. He felt like he had to recuse himself right now. And we'll keep you apprised of that developing story. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up right here. Stay with us.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Get involved in the conversation. You can drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com or hashtag us at BML Talk. Okay? Get involved. Your opinion really does count. We want to talk about sanctuary cities. Seems to be the order of the day. More and more states, I mean, particularly California, I don't know what the heck is going on. I think, you know, the state reminds me, and I grew up there. I was raised there. And it was with wonder that I look to California, and it is not only wonder, but also some sadness because of the political decisions that they make and trying to turn the whole state into a sanctuary state. I mean, do the citizens not get that this is going to put them in jeopardy? Do they not know what happened with Kate Steinle? Are they not aware that you've got convicted felons that are roaming the streets all because of some sanctuary concept, some misguided concept? I mean, what gain to the citizenry is a sanctuary city? Well, Dr. Joseph Castleberry is with us, president of Northwest University, holds a Master of Divinity degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, a Doctor of Education degree in International Educational Development from Columbia University. During 20 years of missionary service in Latin America, he spent 3 years as a university professor, as a pastor in El Salvador, Central America, 3 years as associate dean for Latin America, a global university in Texas, and 5 years as a pastor, seminary dean, and community development leader in Ecuador. Dr. Castleberry, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Hey, great to visit with you again.
Well, Doctor, I mean, this whole situation about these sanctuary cities, I mean, on the surface, sounds warm and comfy, but I look at the empirical evidence and I'm going, what are you thinking? How can we be a nation of laws and arbitrarily set up these sanctuary cities at the risk of its very citizens?
Well, the sanctuary cities are evidence of two really troubling things that we have to take into account. The first is that the country is at a level of division that is really, really dangerous right now. The rule of law is breaking down, not just in terms of people crossing the border and coming into the country, mm-hmm. but whole cities, whole states that are just saying, we're not going to abide by American law anymore. Mm-hmm. Civil disobedience is one thing when average citizens say, I don't agree with this law, I'm going to disobey it and take the consequences of it. It's another thing when jurisdictions of government are saying they won't abide by federal law. That is profoundly non-constitutional, and it really is evidence of how bad things have gotten. We've really got to do something about this. The other side of this is that people of conscience who have been observing closely what's been happening to undocumented immigrants over the last 30 years are simply saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. It's an effort to force the federal government to change the immigration law and bring it up to date and reform it so that injustices aren't happening. And so I'm not in favor of sanctuary cities. I think they're a bad idea, but they are evidence of how bad the situation is. We've got to do something about this. We need to do it this year.
Yeah. Well, interesting that we say that we want to reform immigration, our immigration policies, but why abandon them before we get new ones in place?
Well, these cities are simply saying, until you change the laws and make them more fair and make them just, we're not going to obey them anymore. Again, this is really, really dangerous.
Right.
We can fix this through common sense immigration reform, and there's solid proposals on the table right now that can fix our problem and set this right. And but the option of putting further pressure on these cities and saying, okay, well we're not going to give you back your federal funds, it's just bad government. We don't want to go that way. Let's fix the problem instead of driving the division deeper.
Well, the problem is when you say fair and just, whose definition of fair and just?
Well, let me give you a case. There's a case right now of a pastor in Southern California, came from Mexico to America when he was a teenager, married an American citizen, has two American children. The only violation of law he has committed was when he was a teenager, he came to live in the United States. He's not done identity fraud. He's not committed any crimes or anything. And under normal, sane policy, this man, married to an American citizen, goes and gets his green card. This is crazy. But instead of that, he's being deported. Those kind of cases, when you get these kind of insane cases, it really, really exacerbates the whole situation and makes people question, are we doing the right thing here? Should we separate this family of good people? The guy's a pastor. He's an upstanding person in the community. The only thing wrong is that the government won't let him live with his wife.
Well, certainly I think most reasonable people feel like there should be a judgment call on this, because when we look at immigration anyway, one of the things that is considered when you come in, through the normal processes, which now we're letting in, a little over 1 million people in every year, there are specific requirements that have to be met. Now, we may have to back into this a little bit because of this particular circumstance, and there are exceptions, and I believe that in this case, that is a reasonable exception. And it's too bad that somehow gets confounded into these other situations where you have, guys like, the gentleman who came back five times and killed Kate Steinle. So you have the full gamut and perspective of people who are coming in and being protected by sanctuary cities, where it just it's so convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah, the abuses on the other side. Let me give you a point. The abuses on the other side are even worse. The Kate Steinle case and other cases where extremely liberal jurisdictions are holding criminals and refusing to hand them over to the federal authorities. People who have committed violent crimes, this is insane. It's insane. But the way we fix this situation is not by nibbling away at the edges of it. We need a comprehensive reform bill that will create a new consensus and a new national sense of good conscience that we can all live with. Mm-hmm. But the divisions are so great right now that the only thing that's going to fix it, the only thing that's going to restore the rule of law in America, is to fix the laws that are on the books. They are not adequate. They're not good for America. They're not good for immigrants. They're not good for our economy. We need to change it. And we've got solid proposals on the table.
Right.
We're at the best position we've ever been in to expect immigration reform. Just like Nixon was the only one who could go to China because he was so well known as an anti-communist. Trump is the only one who can bring about immigration reform because he has so clearly established himself as a law and order, national security person. And I think he's got the credibility with the right that it takes to build a consensus. And we can do this. I think it's going to happen this year. President Trump has promised it would. And again, the emergent compromise is looking really good.
Well, we have to see how this plays out. Of course, this is all being played out in a due process sort of way, which when you have an impatient voter electorate that wants this like yesterday, it really makes it a bit of a challenge. But it's going to take some courage And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the existing immigration laws and how far down the road we are just with those. Joseph Castleberry on Bill Martinez Live. More with Joseph after.
Maybe not tomorrow, but soon. He'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See him now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Family Health and Education Resources wants to help you achieve and maintain good health naturally. Overcome lifestyle diseases with nutrition and natural remedies. Addiction recovery designed to build habits that heal rather than hurt. Communication and relationship building to strengthen family units. Character building and devotional resources for the whole family. We are on a mission to save America one family at a time. Visit NewEnglandFHER.com today. NewEnglandFHER.com.
Was a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're talking immigration. We're talking about solving some problems here, and the sanctuary cities is not helping. And I agree with Dr. Castleberry, Dr. Joseph Castleberry, with us, president of Northwest University. And I say first, in my humble opinion, I say if we're a law and order country, let's enforce the existing law and orders, and then let's take care of these other issues. As you say, there's five critical points, Dr. Castleberry, that would go a long way in improving this broken immigration system?
Well, first point is border security. I think those of us on the pro-immigration side are willing to go along with the president that we need border security. We don't want terrorists coming in through the southern border. And we need, we certainly agree with cracking down on people who are overstaying their visas. That's half the illegal immigration problem. And we applaud the government for taking care of the country and protecting us. That's the right thing to do. So that's fine. There's going to be some sort of border wall. Won't be a hard concrete wall. That's not the best solution. But there will be better border security, and that's going to help against human rights abuses, like people drowning in the river or being left in the back of vans in the desert to die and that kind of stuff. So,
well, having to pay coyotes, paying coyotes, up to, what, $10,000, $12,000 to come here.
Yeah.
And then even then, in the process of that, they're being, they being bordered. We're talking about these immigrants that are coming in. They're being vetted by these coyotes. Say, okay, well, hey, this kid could be a drug runner for us. This gal could be a sex slave. I mean, on and on. You don't even want to hear. Well, I mean, you really need to hear. You don't want to hear about it, but this is the kind of stuff that is happening here. So this is much more comprehensive than just people wanting to come here. You think it's all benign that they want to come here for good reasons, but then they come here and then they're part of a shadow government. That they're controlled, and it's not a win-win proposition by no means.
Yeah. A second point would be no amnesty. We understand that people who have broken the law are going to have to pay a price for it. Mm-hmm. That'll probably involve a fine that they'll have to pay for having crossed the border illegally, but it also will probably mean no citizenship. Mm-hmm. That they can get those who are here that are not hurting anybody, that are employed, that are contributing. We'll be able to get a green card, a permanent residency, but they won't be able to have a path to citizenship because they came here illegally.
Right.
There should probably be some way of fixing that, too, but that should be the regular expectation because we understand the laws have been broken and people should not get off scot-free for that.
Right.
The third thing is.
Yeah, because the other thing that happens, Dr. Castleberry, just a moment here, to interject here, is that the other thing you need to consider is you got people who have been waiting in line. I mean, we talked to a guy, Irish Joe. He's been in line for 13 years. To hear this guy, you're thinking, wow, this is the kind of guy that we want immigrating into this country who is rip-raring to go to add to the proposition of America's freedom and our values. And there's so many others like him. Who have been waiting in line, and then meanwhile you got people jumping the line, and they're getting in, and we know we're for the most part Americans are fair-minded people, and we know that's not fair. Even the Hispanics and I'd say Europeans there, because we focus on the southern border, but we've got people coming in from all over the world here.
Yeah, in terms of the line, part of the reason there is a line is because the government's been so slow to deal with cases. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's been waiting for a family visa for over a dozen years here, and he's here illegally because he's got a legal case. I mean, he should have been given a visa a long, long time ago, but the government won't do the paperwork. So there's a huge backlog of that. Charging those who've broken the law a fine will help finance creating more government employees to deal with the backlog of paperwork. But dealing with that paperwork, the red tape, is a huge part of fixing the line.
Mm-hmm.
People who have come here illegally, they go to the back of the line for any sort of a consideration of citizenship. But people who have established themselves here, who bought homes, who graduated from high school, who have solid jobs, who are contributing members of their communities.
Some that have served in the military.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason to deport those folks. Nobody's talking about deporting 12 million undocumented immigrants. But let's regularize the situation because we can't have people living here in a sublegal condition. That has to be fixed.
Exactly.
And then a third part that's really important is we need guest worker visas, not just for agricultural workers and people in the service economy, but we need people in the high-tech industry to be able to get visas to come here. There's a million computer programmer jobs going unfilled right now. A large part of that is because native-born Americans won't study computer science. They don't want to study hard things. And so, if we shouldn't be hampering our high-tech companies because Americans won't train to do the jobs they need. If they posted a job for 3-6 months and no one has come to claim it, they ought to have the right to get visas from the government so they can bring workers in to do those jobs, and bring the smartest people in the world to America. Let's stay on top of things. Keep being the world leader by immigrating smart people to allowing smart immigrants to come. So that's a really important part, the guest worker visas.
Let me interject real quick.
Yes.
And the tough thing here is when, it's one thing to have a guest worker visa. The challenge that we have is when, families come over. Because then when you get families coming over, then the kids need to be in school, and then we have that impact there. So that needs to be defined clearly as to, who all is coming in on these visas. If it's going to include children, then under what conditions?
Well, those folks aren't hurting anything, though. Their parents are employed. They're paying taxes. They're not a drain on the welfare system. There's really no reason to keep people's families from coming. We ought to be a pro-family country.
I guess maybe it's a way to take care of it, because part of the problem that we're having, and I'm hearing from the educational system, is that you have 2 or 3 kids that can't speak the language, and you've got 30 kids in a classroom, and it doesn't take a lot of kids to take a lot of time away from the teacher taking care of the majority of other kids who are there with an expectation to learn, and now they're brought down. So there needs to be something set up that accommodates these young kids who are coming in that need to learn the language so they can assimilate.
Yeah.
And
most systems are creating those kinds of programs, that remedial language programs. Children are language learning sponges. A school kid can learn English very easily in a year.
Right.
So it's
us adults trying to learn Spanish, Dr. Castleberry, and even some of the second generations that have been away from our language for a while. We've just been so used to English that we're just not as bilingual as we should be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a whole other story.
Whole other topic. But, one of the good, just an important piece of information about that is that we've done studies, universities have done studies of assimilation in our time, and all of the solid studies demonstrate that the immigrants are assimilating to American culture and values as fast as they ever have in all of American history. We have this sort of romantic idea that those Italian immigrants came in 1910, that they just stepped off the boat speaking English and immediately assimilated our culture. It's not true. I remember living in New Jersey and knowing lots of older Italian immigrants who still couldn't really speak English very well and weren't assimilated at all, but they made New Jersey an interesting place to live. And
the thing was so cool is because
here always learned.
Yeah, you love the culture and the food. I mean, it's like, hey, so what? You can't speak the same language, but we sure can eat the same food, though. And it's terrific.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Go ahead.
And so we immigrants are learning our culture. They're assimilating, so I have no problem with us requiring them to do so.
Yeah. And I think to me, the key bet is, are you with us or against us? Do you want to advance the cause of freedom? Welcome. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. If you want to come in and do us harm, then we got issues, and it's going to be a short conversation. But this is part of the thing that we process. As I tell my kids all the time, experience defines preference, and we have a lot of experience that we're dealing with right now, Dr. Castleberry, when it comes to immigration, right? With all the refugee issues but we need to keep having the conversation in a forthright sort of manner. And I appreciate you bringing some clarity to this as always. Dr. Joseph Castleberry on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Doctor.
It's a pleasure.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chirakuri, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aids affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here coming at you live and fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And our next guest says the FDA must come clean about the real risk of smokeless tobacco. Scott Vollen is with us, a public health consultant who has spent more than 40 years involved in issues related to tobacco and human health, involving issues ranging from labeling reforms on cigarettes, smokeless tobacco products impacting the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Scott, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for joining us. You say the Food and Drug Administration is failing to follow established ethical principles by leaving the public in the dark about relative dangers of smokeless tobacco compared to cigarettes. Break that down.
Well, you know, most people think that all tobacco products carry the same risk, that they're all dangerous. And that's true to some extent. But when you stop burning a product, which the cigarette is, you burn the cigarette and you suck the toxins into your lung, that's what's causing the major form of disease, and cancer, heart disease, strokes, etc. When you don't burn a product, it reduces that risk by 90 to 95%. And the products on the market today are very, very low in risk. They've been able to remove most of the cancer-causing agents, which are called nitrosamines. It's not the same old spit tobacco that people think about. These are products that actually are more sophisticated. They come in a pouch. They are tested for all aspects of the product. And this provides an alternative to a lot of people who want to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. We must not forget that the primary cause of disease and death in this country is the deadly cigarette.
Exactly.
480,000 premature deaths every single year. Mm-hmm. And my personal view is we're not doing enough to give people alternatives. You know, some people use the NRT, the nicotine patches and gums, and the nicotine itself is actually comes from tobacco. Mm-hmm. But there are more and more alternative products being developed using new technologies and new science that will give smokers some more options. And as I said, some of these non-combustible smoke-free products, such as Swedish snus or some of the dissolvables, and even now e-cigarettes, which need to be regulated, are going to be able to provide smokers with some new alternatives.
Well, I want to get into why e-cigarettes need to be regulated, but just a moment, just kind of bring everybody back up to speed. Looking at the empirical evidence, according to one study, shows 1 billion people still smoke every day. Hundreds of millions of people have quit smoking in the past quarter century, but there's still 1 billion people smoking every day around the world, according to this latest study from Lancet. And backing up what you were saying, 1 in 10 deaths worldwide is now caused by smoking. Half of them in just 4 countries, China, India, Russia, and the United States. So, you know, to your point, you know, smoking-related deaths have gone up nearly 5% in the past 25 years as more smokers are now limited, which is interesting. You would think they would have gone down, but actually have increased.
Yep.
Especially in light of what we know before from earlier research, that the tobacco that was used when you and I were growing up, a little bit different than the tobacco of today.
Oh, it is, and particularly in the non-combustible side of things. You still have the aspects that anytime you burn something and suck it into your lungs, I don't care what it is, it's going to cause harm.
Mm-hmm.
And tobacco, you know, that's why smoking still is a major contributor to the cancer and heart disease, as I said before, and why we need to do more to try to get those people who are smoking off those products. A lot of people try to quit cold turkey. They can't do it. They've tried the patch, which is okay. Some are successful in quitting it, but it's a very, very low success rate, around 5%, 6%.
Mm-hmm.
And again, technology and innovation have created some new products that actually can change the whole dynamics of the disease and death figures, not only in this country, but around the world.
Exactly. Well, Scott, you know, we talked about regulating e-cigarettes. Why do e-cigarettes need to be regulated?
Well, because they're, you know, again, that's something that's very, it's a complex product. It does deliver nicotine in the form of a vapor, a water vapor, so it's not smoked. But you can, you know, we need to know what these companies are doing, how they're being developed. There are issues related to the batteries that are used, issues related to the flavorings that are used. And my personal view is these are products that could well be a major solution to the smoking problem. But we don't want to get rid of one problem and create a new one. So we've got to have some general oversight. And my view is also, and I share this view is shared by many others, that we need to regulate these products based on their risk. So deadly cigarettes should be very strictly regulated, whereas at the other end, when you're using nicotine products like patches and gums, less regulation. And then there's also on this very, very low end, because they're 90% lower in risk than a cigarette, are these new products.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes e-cigarettes. But people must realize that not all e-cigarettes are alike. There's very different different types of products. There's heat not burn. There's self-contained products. And so we need to have some sort of regulatory oversight of them, but not to go so far as to make it a disincentive for people to try these.
Exactly.
Because the alternative is to continue to smoke deadly cigarettes.
Well, and as you say, people have been using these up to this point, very successfully to help get them off of smoking tobacco, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, there is evidence that people are actually using them and it's helping them, and there are many, many stories. But then you have a lot of my colleagues in the public health community concerned about the uptake of e-cigarettes by adolescents. I think we can deal with both these problems and find a win-win solution to giving the adult population these alternative products to get them off of the deadly cigarette, at the same time making sure that we're not doing things that are enticing young people to try them. So I think that's where the discussions need to take place. I think there's a common ground to be found, but we haven't gotten there yet because this has sort of turned into a verbal war that's going on out there, and I just don't think that's necessary, and it doesn't serve the public health interest.
Well, and this is why I'm glad you're here, because you're bringing some sober consideration. You know, like anything, in a free market, when things take off, ideas come in, they hit the marketplace, and they take off like e-cigarettes did. And, you know, in a sense, you know, the cows were already out of the barn with this deal. And then you have the government coming in, and, of course, what do all these small businesses that are doing, you know, a bang up business in the e-cigarette industry. They say, well, it's those tobacco companies, you know, again, with the backing of the federal government trying to squash the issue. But this becomes a crisis management issue for, you know, for the government and others to, you know, to get the message out there to say, hey, these are the reasons. And what you shared with us right now is some of the reasons. They seem to be very reasonable as to why you want to regulate e-cigarettes.
Yeah, and FDA could have done this differently, in my view. Now, and I've worked on FDA issues in tobacco for 40 years and was the one who wrote the petitions to the agency years and years ago. They could have done this differently. They could have started 3 or 4 years ago with having more meetings and conferences and involving industry, involving public health and researchers, and come up with some temporary guidance rules as they move forward to implementing something more, restrictive if necessary. But what they did is they sort of threw the whole thing out there, put these regulations out there, and said, you got to comply with them in 2 years. Right. And that's just sent shockwaves through the e-cigarette industries, but particularly with the small companies who don't have the capital to be able to do all the things that the FDA is going to require them to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a disincentive, again, to the American public and the public health.
Well, one final question here before we wrap this up. The Swedish experience, how does it connect to tobacco harm reduction?
Well, the Swedes have the lowest smoking rates in the world, especially for a European country. And what has been going on in Sweden for many years now is they have provided their population with a product called Swedish Snus. And Swedish Snus comes in a little self-contained packet. And you put it in your mouth and you absorb the nicotine. And it doesn't come with all the toxins and everything else. And so they've been able to do that. And we should be focusing on that in this country. Instead of sort of blaming the big tobacco companies for everything, we need to provide people with these lower-risk products now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Scott Ballin has been with us, public health consultant, spent more than 40 years involved in issues related to tobacco and human health, involving issues ranging from labeling reforms on cigarettes and smokeless tobacco products. Scott, good stuff here. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it with us.
Yeah, been a pleasure. Thank you.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, we love the Constitution, those of us that do. I mean, the basis of this country, it's about we the people. And we the people keep getting shoved around here and ignored by the elites. They like it just the way it's working for them on their behalf. That's why they get to design their own health care system and all their other special exemptions and golden parachutes and whatever, at the people's expense. I mean, how does this make sense? I mean, our founding fathers never expected it to be this way. But surely I digress. And that's another conversation for another day. But I just kind of just put that out there to give you something to chew on for the rest of the day as if there's not enough already. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Tom Clavin is with us right now. Tom is New York Times best-selling author. He's worked as a newspaper editor, magazine writer, TV, radio commentator, and a reporter for the New York Times, covering entertainment, sports, and the environment. How much fun is that, Tom? I mean, you know, you've been able to work in the whole broad spectrum of media and to be able to work in all these jobs.
Well, I got very lucky. I mean, I met some great people along the way who were giving me good assignments to sometimes write about the environment and sometimes to write about something happening in culture and interview an author. So I've been very lucky and had some great mentors along the way that taught me, I think, how to do things the right way.
Well, and I think that's the special time when you were in the industry early as opposed to now. I mean, and now it's much more defined, a little bit, you know, tighter pigeonholes, not quite as much flexibility. I know when I was coming up, through the broadcast industry, it was amazing. You know, from being a disc jockey, playing records, being a juvenile, and then doing, you know, talk shows and that sort of thing.
Right. I think one difference, though, is that, my impression is that radio continues to thrive as a medium. I mean, radio is great because you can get it anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, you can listen to radio, and there's constantly good material on the radio. When I was starting out in the newspaper business, there were a lot more opportunities than there are now because, you know, that's just the nature of the beast these days. The print medium is shrinking. So for somebody starting out now, they're going to have fewer opportunities than I did.
Well, you know, maybe they go to blogging, which is what a lot of radio people are doing right now as well. I mean, they're looking at multiple what we call cross-platform type opportunities that are outside of the terrestrial realm because, like the newspapers, they've been controlled by a small group of people. Interestingly enough, when the government stepped in and said, hey, we want to broaden it out, well, it did just the opposite. It didn't make for more owners. It made for less, and now you've got markets, major markets, that are controlled by you know, less than a dozen broadcast entities, right?
Makes me think of years ago when they broke up Bell Telephone thinking it was going to make things better for everybody, and now we can't figure out who does what.
Right. Well, maybe they like it that way, you know. It's kind of like our government, you know. It just keeps you wondering, and everybody goes, well, who did that? I don't know, you know. Must have been that other guy. Who are the other guy? Who are they? It just keeps on going. Hey, you know, we digressed a little bit and got away, but I want to get back on track and talk about your latest book, Dodge City, White Earp, Bat Masterson, and the wickedest town in the West. Why Dodge City?
Well, I wasn't really intending Dodge City. Of course, like many people, I knew Dodge City existed. And even to this day, as you well know, we hear expressions, people saying, well, it's time to get out of Dodge.
I mean, wild,
you know, there's a chaotic or dangerous situation. It's time to get out of it. But I started to do some research just for the heck of it. And sometimes projects begin this way, into Bat Masterson. Because like a lot of people, there was immediate name recognition, but I didn't really know who Bat Masterson was. Was he an outlaw? Was he a lawman? Was he a gambler? What was Bat Masterson? And I found out that he had gotten his start as a lawman, you know, when he was very young. He's only in his early 20s in Dodge City. And in Dodge City, he was best friends with a fellow lawman, Wyatt Earp. Now, that got me interested because for many of us, the Wyatt Earp that we know about and that we've seen in, you know, many, many movies,
right,
is the Wyatt Earp of Tombstone and the gunfight at the OK Corral. Well, what about 10 years ago? What about before then, when Wyatt Earp was a younger man and he was trying to make his way in the world? And here he and Bat Masterson at the same time are in Dodge City becoming best friends and becoming lawmen in a town that was desperately needing law and order.
Yeah. Well, when you have a name like Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson, I mean, that in itself, I mean, that's a cool name.
It is. Right? One of the things that was fun about the book is that it's not just Bat and Wyatt, but Wyatt was one of six sons, and Bat was one of five sons that their parents had. And so you also have in Dodge City at this time where the brothers are working together as sheriffs, as deputies, as marshals, because Bat's brother Ed was marshal of Dodge City for a while. He had another brother Jim, who was a deputy marshal. Wyatt, of course, had Morgan and Virgil, and there was another brother in there, Warren, that was in Dodge City. So that was kind of fun too, to write about not just Wyatt and Earp, Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson themselves, but the Earp and Masterson families and how much as families they contributed to what was going on in the American frontier.
Exactly, and there you are, Dodge City. I mean, that was a major hub, wasn't it? I mean, right there. I mean,
it was when the railroad came in.
Yeah.
You know, that changed. I mean, Dodge City began as a place that the soldiers at Fort Dodge could travel the 5 or 6 miles over to Dodge City so they could drink, because there was no alcohol out in the fort. So it began as one big saloon. And then when the railroad came and you had all these the ranchers from Texas driving tens of thousands of cattle up through the Panhandle and the Cherokee Strip there to get to Dodge City, put them on the cars and send them off to Chicago and the other slaughterhouses, suddenly Dodge City exploded because you had all these cowboys being paid off with money in their pockets and they wanted to have a good time. And the saloons started growing like weeds, bordellos, other places of business that would cater to the supplies that the cattlemen needed. And it grew so fast that there was no system of law and order, no justice system. And the nearest law and order was Hays City, which is 75 miles to the north.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a place. That's why it got the reputation of being the wickedest city in the American West, because it was a place where anything goes and there was no law to stop it.
So the gunslingers won, huh? The best gunslinger won. Yeah.
They did it first. They had the guns and they did the slinging.
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened was the businessmen and the business community leaders who had first welcomed all the influx of cash that the cowboys and the other elements were bringing, they realized that they could hear the whispers saying, don't go to Dodge anymore, it's too dangerous. And they realized they could become a ghost town real quick if they didn't get some kind of law, actual legitimate lawmen in there that were going to enforce the law. And that's how we ended up, the Dodge ended up with Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson walking down the street side by side patrolling Dodge City.
Well, and, you know, that must have been a shock to the town, but a welcome sight to bring some law in order to something that had expanded so quickly. And as you say, it was ripe, you know, for this debauchery and this wildness. You know, it was like the
debauchery
storm,
is a good
right?
word. A good yeah. word. It very, yeah. very much describes a lot of the chaotic activity that was going on there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there was an actual Boot Hill Cemetery in Dodge, and they were killing people, dying in these fights faster than they could bury them up on Boot Hill.
Wow.
And a lot of what the book talks about is how Wyatt and Bat and their fellow lawmen got into all these confrontations that you know, thankfully they won them, or we wouldn't be talking about, we'd only be talking about it today as dead people, but they won these confrontations and did sort of civilize Dodge City. And I think there's a story in the book that's a very symbolic one where eventually Boot Hill was closed down as a cemetery and the bodies moved to a new cemetery, and that site became a schoolhouse.
Wow.
So I think that says a lot about the transformation that happened in Dodge City, which was a transformation that was being mirrored by the rest of the American frontier.
Exactly. And, Tom, you talk about the justice system, the techniques and methods in your book that have become the standard for justice in the American West. Tell us about that.
Well, Wyatt and Batt took very seriously the name peace officer. And what they were trying to do was you don't bring law and order to a town by shooting people faster than they're shooting you. Mm-hmm. Wyatt had a technique called buffaloing, where basically he would crack somebody over the top of the head and knock them out and haul them off to jail, and they would wake up the next morning, pay the judge a fine, and go on their way. Mm-hmm. And the other that's what he instructed to Batt and the other deputies, and saying this is how you bring law and order. You don't kill people, you stop people from being killed. Mm-hmm. And that was a new concept, because up until that point, through the Civil War, after the Civil War, the idea was that kill or be killed. It was the law of the land and the law of the jungle, basically. But Wyatt and Batt brought a civilizing influence to Dodge City.
Yeah, what they would have done with tasers, huh?
Yeah, they probably could have used them, because they did have some cuffs, but the taser would have probably helped them too, instead of cracking somebody over the head.
Well, the other thing we think about Dodge City was that, people walked around with, guns on their hips, and not so necessarily, right?
Well, in Dodge City, they did impose, they were able to get enough control they could impose that you couldn't wear guns in Dodge City. You could drop them off at the marshal's office, or if you were going into a saloon, the bartender would keep them, behind the saloon, and then, like, the cowboys are ready to go back to their camp, they could pick up their guns. And, in fact, there's, a very powerful story in the book about when Batt, his brother Ed, was being confronted by cowboys and who refused to give up their guns, and Ed stood his ground, and they shot him just as Batt was rounding the corner, and Batt came around, saw his brother get shot, and he opened up with his pistols and shot down these guys that shot his brother. And that was a confrontation that Batt, anybody could justify him. He saw his brother get shot. He wasn't going to think about knocking somebody over the head or talking to them peacefully. You shot my brother, now it's your turn to pay.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, bringing a wooden stick to a gunfight, odds are not in your favor, right?
Right, exactly.
But what a cast of characters there. You talk about Wild Bill Hitchcock, Jesse
Buffalo
James,
Bill.
Buffalo
yeah,
Bill, I mean, the whole cast and crew.
They all came through and had a connection to Dodge City one way or another.
Amazing. Well, how do people get their hands on your book? We highly recommend it. It's good.
Well, I always say to people, please support your local bookstore, but also if there's a Barnes & Noble in town and Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and, go in and ask for it, because I'm hearing that people are doing that in bookstores, and you could be the next one.
Hey, that's good. Got to keep the bookstores vibrant in our communities here, right?
Definitely. Listen, as a writer, I wouldn't have a career if it wasn't for the bookstores.
Well, without a doubt, we appreciate them. Tom Clavin, New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Dodge City, White Earp, Batt Masterson, and the Wickedest Town in the West. Tom, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff, and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good, because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins, so I remember to take them, too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Being self-reliant.